Are you with the police?
Alas, we cannot claim that felicity. A career in law and order, although indubitably enticing, was not inscribed on the cards Dame Fortuna dealt my brother and me. No, we are merely private citizens. Are so sharp. We could just cut ourselves.
Most of the blood was someone else's.
Hello, and welcome to Ninja Consultant Podcast. This is show number 2. We're now listed on iTunes, and I haven't gotten some of the tags quite right. So if you're joining us from there, go to ninjaconsultant.com. It's just called ninjaconsultant.com. And you can see our show notes where we list links to almost everything we talk about.
Almost.
Almost. I try to be very thorough. Also, you can email us at ninjaconsultant@gmail.com, and we're on LiveJournal. Our LiveJournal username is ninjaconsultant, so you can friend us or comment on the show there. There aren't really any forums or anything like that. Noah almost vetoed the idea of any user feedback at all.
Veto. I almost made it so that no one could download the podcast.
That's false.
No, I almost did that.
No, he was very enthusiastic about it, and then later he was like, "You mean people are actually listening?" We have had, I don't know, maybe 35 or 40 downloads.
Which is ridiculous. What are you people doing? You're actually listening to this show? What's wrong with you?
I also like when you search for us on iTunes, when you search for Ninja, you get That Bastard Ninja and you get Ninja Consultant. I haven't listened to That Bastard Ninja's podcast because his links don't seem to work at all. But, you know, it's iTunes. They're smoothing out some of the bugs.
We have a jam-packed show for you today.
That's so cliched. I can't believe you just said that. All right, so since it is the Ninja Consultant podcast, I thought we should mention some ninja information. I found a really great Naruto website yesterday. Now, Noah's been looking at the Wikipedia Naruto entry, which is really good. But I also found a website called leafninja.com, and it's got a really great guide to all the characters on the show, all of, like, the different countries, the different shinobi villages. It's got a map, and it's got all their headband symbols, and all these great things.
It's extraordinarily comprehensive, both for the manga and the anime.
But it's really good, because 6 months ago or something, I was looking for good Naruto websites that had a guide to all the characters, because I was making a blog entry that had to do with Naruto mixed drinks. Like, the idea was you make an alcoholic drink based on a Naruto character. Clearly for people 21 and over, I'm sure. If you actually drink them, which we didn't, so...
Yeah, because we're both over 21.
Yeah, we're old.
That's true.
We're not, like, super old. Sakura would be, like, a pink ice cream drink. A Naruto would be something that has, like, orange soda in it and it tastes really obnoxious. And a Kakashi is whatever the person next to you is drinking.
The Ururenge, which, if you recall, it's the sequential gates that Rock Lee opens within himself during the Gaara battle. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that a series of shots?
Yes, it's a series of shots. It's the Ururenge because, if done in the right order, it will kill you.
These are not recommended.
But this is difficult. How do we run a podcast? We talk about anime, but there are spoilers. I don't know what our policy on spoilers should be. Because
I guess we should just warn people if we're about to say a spoiler, and that you should skip ahead, I don't know, however many seconds.
Frankly, everyone should be watching everything all the time, so there is nothing that we shouldn't... There is nothing that we have seen that you shouldn't have seen also. But how will we know?
Yeah, moving on. My two favorite characters in Naruto are definitely Rock Lee and Gaara. Rock Lee, because, you know, he tries so hard, but he just doesn't have chakra, and it's like the ultimate person who has no talent, but is a really hard worker. I think Rock Lee is really popular in the United States. I don't know how popular he is in, you know, Japan, but I think, to me, it's almost like a very American concept.
I'd actually disagree. I think that Rock Lee is perhaps the most Japanese character among them, because it's not whether you win, it's how hard you try. Gambate! Gambate! And he tries the hardest. He's the genius of hard work.
But I think if it was an American show, I think Rock Lee would win more battles. I don't know, I just get that weird feeling.
Well, that's certainly true. Frequently in anime, it's about the heroic effort that makes no difference. And that's Rock Lee right there. He tried so hard, he came so far, and in the end, Gaara kicked his ass, which is a spoiler if you haven't seen that far, but you should have.
Way to go.
I don't know how to deal with it.
It's also like that Linkin Park song. He tried so hard, he came so far.
That's because our listeners are all hip.
I see.
Unlike us. Frankly, people, I only know popular music by listening to AMVs.
Look, no one hip should be listening to this podcast. If you're hip, you can just stop right now.
Tune out.
You're only going to make yourself nerdier and you won't like listening. There's a really, the only really good video I've seen AMV to that Linkin Park song is a Marmalade Boy video.
But it's very good.
It's really good because it's about the guy who plays piano from the second half of the series. I don't remember his name. He really did try hard and it didn't even matter.
Didn't matter.
So it's an excellent AMV for an anime series where there's really almost no movement at all. It's characters standing around, dumbfounded or shocked, perhaps that someone has just kissed them. Oh, but I was going to talk about the Rock Lee plushie that I bought. Because I found a Gaara plushie in Chinatown at a reasonable price. Like maybe $15 or something. And the guy would throw in another plushie if it was $20. But the only other thing he had was like Kakashi. And you know, we all love Kakashi, but at that point he wasn't one of my favorite characters. So I've seen pictures of Rock Lee plushies online, mostly like UFO catcher dolls from Japan. But they're all like exorbitantly expensive. Like we're talking $80, something like that. And I'm like, fuck that. So I was waiting for them to come out in American cons. And so the anime cons that we've been to this year are like Anime Boston, Anime Central, Anime Expo. I didn't get to go to Anime Next. I've seen some pictures and stuff.
We're not rich. I just want to... Because I used to... It's very strange because I'd go to these conventions, but I'd go to the local conventions and I'd run into people and they'd be like, yeah, man, I was at like Anime Eurasia and Anime Japan and I was at Daikon 20 or whatever. I'd be like, my God, how do they afford all this? The truth is now we're becoming these kinds of congoers who fly across the country to go to a convention.
Well, I figured as long as I have a job this year so I can actually afford a plane ticket next time when I don't have a job, then yeah, only really local cons and probably not for all 3 days.
And it's so freaking expensive. That's how you do it, is it's so... I've watched my bank account vanish.
Who knew it was so expensive to fly to Los Angeles? At Anime Boston or Anime Central, I bought some, I looked at a Rock Lee plushie, and it was like, and I was like, oh, how much is that? And they were like, $50. And I'm like, forget it. Then the next time I saw one at Anime Expo, there was one dealer that had one, and I was like, oh, how much is that Rock Lee plushie? They're like, $30. And I'm like, I thought I could do better. So I walked around the con, and sure enough, there's another dealer that had one Rock Lee plushie left. And I was like, how much is it? He's like, $20. And I'm like, oh, good. The other guy has it for $30, and the dealer's just like, I know, because he knew it was undercutting the competition. But I bought the last one, so I felt like I'd accomplished something. But it turns out, no. Later, I went to a Japanese toy store that's on St. Mark's Place between 1st and Avenue A, and they had several Rock Lee plushies, and when I looked at the price tag, I was horrified to find $13.50. Gah! Don't get ripped off, people. I didn't think that the con dealer's room could rip you off so royally.
You got hosed, Aaron.
I got hosed. Well, I'm glad I didn't buy like the $50 one, since it's the same toy. One of my friends said that at Anime Next, she noticed a markup in prices where dealers seem to be charging more for stuff girls would like. Like, Ed from Fullmetal Alchemist, figures of him were more expensive than, like, just the girly swimsuit dolls of the same sort of make and build that men would like. You said it's what the market can bear.
Well, yes. I'm trying to remember what my theory behind all this was.
All right, well,
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know. We'll come back to that later after I remember.
Anyway, my point is, be a smart shopper before you go to anime convention. Check out the prices of the types of things you'd like to buy, and so you know if a sale is really a good sale or not, and you know what is actually a good deal. Next thing I was going to talk about was Genshiken, but I'd like to lead into that to talk a little bit about an anime expo I went to, a panel about Del Rey manga, and the Del Rey manga guy was really cool. And I found a picture of him at work, and I'm going to post it on the site when I remember to. But
because he's a giant freak.
No, this guy
was a 10-foot albino with one arm. That's awesome.
Not the case. This guy was awesome. He seemed professional about everything, and he knew how to run a panel. He actually seemed like a fan, but he really differentiated. He's like, there are two sides of me. The side of me who's like, the manga fan, and then, like, the greedy capitalist side. So he admitted to things like, he said that he did actually download anime as kind of his research for what manga they might license, but he also was like, you know, kind of, he also said, oh, but, you know, that's illegal. He admitted to that, and it was neat, and he really genuinely seemed to like the titles that he was plugging. He didn't really have that horrible sales department mentality about him. I don't know. I really respected him. And they ran a separate panel just to talk about Genshin, and it didn't go well, because the guy from, like, Media Blasters or whoever licensed Genshin didn't show up, which was really disappointing. So the Del Rey guy talked about the Genshin manga, which we bought the first volume of and liked it a lot. Mm. We'd seen the whole anime series first, clearly, you know, on fan subs. So I was really looking forward to finding the volume of manga when it came out, and I bought it, and it was the last one the bookstore had, and sure enough, I asked my friends who worked in a comic book store, and they were like, yeah, we had Genshin, and it sold out right away. And I was like, oh yeah, it's really good. So at the Genshin panel, the Del Rey guy pointed out how Genshin, the manga, is selling phenomenally well. Like, people really like it. And this is a big surprise to the Japanese side of the company, like the Japanese people who they licensed it from. Because, of course, they ask every time, how is such and such title doing? How is such and such title doing? And they tell them, and then they were like, and how's Genshin doing? In this kind of worried way. And the Del Rey guy is like, oh, it's selling really well. The Japanese guys were like,
why?
They were like embarrassed. So the Japanese guys were embarrassed because Genshin was originally serialized in some publication called like Afternoon, which is really only for, like, hardcore otaku. Like, they only really have hardcore otaku titles.
And that's why the Japanese couldn't figure out why the title was doing so well in America, because to them, otaku-ness is a strictly Japanese attribute. They don't seem to understand, or at least according to this guy, through this anecdote.
They don't think it could be, like, an international thing. They think it's unique to Japanese culture.
They don't get that otakudom is international now more than it's ever been before. Certainly, they see that they can export anime as a commodity, but not that it's going to create the same kind of fan community internationally that it's developed in Japan, which to me is fascinating. Like, I'm shocked.
Like, they hadn't really considered that at every American university there's an anime club. And the anime club looks kind of like the anime club in Genshin, except maybe with more girls, and maybe with more normal people. But still, even if it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago, pretty much exactly like Genshin.
I've been part of fan organizations in school and even before college and in high school, and Genshin, to me, is a perfect reflection, except there was never an attractive, what's his name? Kosaka.
All right, so should we start with, like, an intro to what Genshin's about? Genshin is the awakening of one boy's sexuality, but not...
in a bad way.
But not in a regular way. It's about the new member of Genshin is Sasahara, and he comes to college and he decides what club he's going to join, and he finds there's a manga club, and maybe there's an anime club, but there's one club that does anime, manga, and games, and it's called Genshin, so... You get to find out why it's called Genshin at the end of the series, but he decides to join Genshin. And basically you realize, although this looks like any old American sci-fi or anime club, it's really mostly about porn.
Yeah.
Sasahara wants to read the pornographic doujinshi. He wants to look at the little figures where you can look at their underwear. And he wants to go to Comic Fest, or Kamifest, the big doujin comic party, as depicted in the series Comic Party, although it's nothing like Comic Party. Comic Party is weird because it's about doujin creators, but in the anime, they're not making pornography, or in a lot of the manga. There are two different Comic Party manga series. There's, like, the regular one, and there's another one that's, like, Comic Party. But there's one that's more, like, by indie manga artist, like, actual doujin artist, and it's, like, rougher drawings, and you can tell, and it's, like, just chapter stories instead of one big overall story arc. For being about Comic Fest, Comic Party surprisingly free of hentai, or just free of pornography. Sasahara is embarrassed to buy doujin, and he's never been to Comic Fest, but thanks to Genshin's help, he does go there with all of his friends. He starts to embrace that side of himself, where up to that point he'd been really embarrassed and thought he was some kind of weirdo masturbator, which he kind of is. But now he feels better about it. So I think that might turn a lot of anime fans away from the series. I don't think it went well at NYU Anime Club. They didn't show the whole thing. Overall, it has like a very general appeal to fans that, you know, the members of Genshin, they go to Akihabara, the electric district in Tokyo, where all the crazy anime stores are, stores that sell doujinshi, and they go around and they buy a bunch of stuff. They're just nerds.
It's true.
Yeah. The greatest part is probably the beach episode. In every anime nowadays, like the third or fifth episode is beach episode, and they just go to the beach in order so that you can see what their swimsuit costumes look like, and probably to sell toys or whatever, inspire more doujin artists. But basically so you can see all of the anime characters in their swimsuits. Genshin has a beach episode towards the end, and it's the greatest thing ever because Saki wants to go to the beach, and she drags Kosaka there.
Yeah, they don't know who Saki is.
Okay, so they're there for no apparent reason, and they're a bunch of pale freaks who don't belong on the beach. Clearly they're not accustomed to beach going, and they don't really know what to do with themselves. They kind of stand around, and Madarame is like, it's shameful to go to Comet Fest with a tan. So he's like hiding under a big beach umbrella the whole time. They start reading, like, anime magazines. They build a sandcastle, but it's the Castle Cagliostro. It's really brilliant.
And they can't... It brings across the fact that no matter what they're doing, they can't escape the fan culture, the fanishness.
They can't stop thinking about
that
it.
That is... They can't stop thinking about it. Like Scott McCloud, he can't stop thinking.
Can't stop talking.
Can't stop talking. The title of each episode is a mock, abstruse thesis topic for the sort of thing that a graduate student, a pop culture sociology graduate student, might submit to a journal, an academic journal, for publication. Things like, my point is that in their college, there's an anime club, which is not them. There's a manga club, which is not them. There's a gaming club, which is not them. What makes them different? They call themselves Study of Visual Culture. They are a fan organization about being fans, about consuming the cultural artifacts of anime and manga and video games, all of which factor heavily. But it's not just the enjoyment of these things. It's also a level of self-awareness that allows them to understand that they are, in fact, a community or a culture unto themselves, which is really what otakudom is. It's the self-awareness of a fan-created society.
It's from Anime News Network, from their encyclopedia, which is great. It's one of the best, if not top three, if not the number one anime encyclopedia on the web. But I was also going to mention about Genshin that different episodes cover different parts of Japanese fandom, like the episode where they build little toy models, like little model Gundams or whatever. There's an episode about cosplaying. There are a couple episodes like this. So yeah, do you want to go ahead and give some examples of titles?
Well, sure. So the first episode is the study of the modern visually oriented culture. Second episode is comparative classification of the modern youth through consumption and entertainment. The third is problems and merits of local culture promotion. These are thesis titles.
Yeah,
and
like concerning the existence and expository requirement under special non-social circumstances.
Right. Clearly it's a put-on. I mean, this is self-parody. It gets across an idea about fan culture, how it's constantly observing itself. It's constantly thinking of itself in a larger context. And that's when I kind of fell to the fact that Genshin was going to be really a very good, interesting series, and unique, I think. I wanted to ask the Del Rey guy exactly what... Frequently in anime, there's an old series that has been redone several times, and then it turns into a modern version of itself. Eva borrows very heavily from its predecessors, and I wanted to know if there was anything that Genshin might have borrowed from. For instance, anyone who's seen the Gainax Otaku no video, which has become an urtext of fan culture in anime, it's very much like Genshin. The difference is that it takes a professional bent instead of a fan culture bent. In Otaku no Video, they're fans, but they want to become professionals. In Genshiken, it has more to do with becoming figures in the fan community. Won't give any spoilers away, but that's how the series develops, is that begin to consider how they can make a larger contribution to fan culture as a whole.
Who's your favorite character?
Who's my favorite character?
In Genshiken.
It's funny. It's the president. Not the president-elect, but...
Oh, he's not on this page.
The president who... I don't even know if his name is ever given. He may just be the president. For a while, I was president of the Science Fiction Society at Columbia, and naturally, I graduated. Once you graduate, you can't be an officer anymore. So I kind of hung around as a derelict, made sort of a shadow president position for myself. I continued to try and run the organization for a couple of years.
Yeah, I kept going I went to Sci-Fi Club probably more often after I graduated because either I didn't have a job or the job that I had was not very demanding of my time.
But the character of the president is somewhat mysterious in that he's always there to keep the club running because every year someone needs to sign up so that the club can be recognized by the university, which is another side of Genshiken that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's very real university club politics.
Yeah, university club politics are huge and very accurately portrayed. It's very funny. It strikes the other members of Genshiken that they don't know how old the president is. He's just always been around. You get the idea that
maybe he's
been there
or...
a very long time.
Every time he shows up, he's really creepy. He's like an alien or something, and they play eerie music whenever he's around. It's very funny.
He has come to embody sort of the geezer stereotype of someone who's been around. He's always been there.
I see. Well, my favorite character is Madarame, actually. I don't know. I think he's just, like, he's a definite geek type that you recognize. And he seems more, like, in touch with his geekdom than the other members. I mean, like, other people come around eventually, but he seems really, like, a take-charge guy. And you'd think he'd be, like, the next president or whatever, but... And I'm gonna give away spoilers. I should mention that the Genshiken DVD and art box, although they were available at Anime Expo... the art box sold out, like, really quickly, and they didn't have that many copies of the anime left, but its official release date is pretty soon. It's later in July. The first volume of the manga came out, like, months ago, but the second volume doesn't come out until, like, the 25th. I can't wait that long. And then it's, like, staggered release. So, like, the volume after that doesn't come out for another couple months, and the fourth volume comes out in November. And I thought it was only going to be a four-volume thing. I don't know what I was thinking. They're up to, like, volume six. It keeps going. But I'm really glad, because... It's one really interesting difference between the manga and the anime is that in the manga, they're fans of a manga called Kujibuki Unbalance. And in the Genshiken manga, Kujibuki Unbalance hasn't been made into an anime series yet. But they spend a lot of time talking about, oh, who would be the voice actors in it and what could they do with this and that. When the Genshiken anime came out, they have Kujibuki Unbalance that they released a little bit later than the Genshiken anime as a kind of OVA to go with the series. But in the anime of Genshiken, they're watching the anime of Kujibuki Unbalance. So there's like a timeline difference.
There are levels of narrative, wheels within wheels.
Sort of. Kujibuki Unbalance seems really insane.
Yeah, it's...
For a show...
And highly fetishistic.
Yeah, oh yeah. But it's the kind of stuff that hardcore otaku in Japan would really like, basically. It's like a fetish... It's a really fetishy show.
Yeah.
Kujibuki. One thing I really enjoy about Genshiken is the backgrounds in the anime are all very... realistic looking, and the characters are drawn in a very realistic style. And there's not a lot of movement. I kind of feel like they paid the price. Well, also, it's about nerds who don't really move around much. Like, nerds sit around all day, let's face it.
Let's face it. In fact, we've been sitting around all day.
Yeah, we've been sitting around all day. But in the manga, it kind of comes across better because you don't really expect a lot of animation, per se. In the manga, it's like photorealistic backgrounds, and it's really something else. The best part of the manga, though, is the little three-panel strips between chapters, which are exceedingly hilarious. I also like the author's veiled references to other things. Like, he has a character profile that'll say, what's this character's favorite anime or manga? So then he'll make a title slightly different from the real title, as not to get in trouble. Like, one of the character's favorite manga here is listed as Anmanga Daio. So it's clearly Azmanga Daio, but he's changed it slightly. Or another character's favorite manga is the 7-star stories, which is really 5-star stories.
Bebop Hellsing. Also, wait, go back.
Oh,
go
sorry.
Back.
We're looking at the Wikipedia page, which is really good.
That's very funny. Tanaka's favorite anime is Conan the Future Boy, but it's Conan with a K. That's a joke, son.
One thing at the Del Rey panel, one of the questions that was asked was, why in the Genshiken manga did you translate the word doujin as fanzines? Because fanzines, it's like that makes sense. I mean, that's a fair translation of doujin, but it doesn't really get across the same meaning. Like, as an anime and manga fan, doujin is doujin. Doujinshi is a comic made by fans that features characters from other, usually official manga, doing, it's like fan fiction, but with pictures, basically. And it does, the characters do the same kind of thing they would do in fan fiction, which, you know, is like, have a lot of sex and then everyone dies, or whatever.
Like, that's accurate.
That kind of boils it down.
Or
so,
just lots of meaningful hugs.
Meaningful hugs. People looking cuter than usual. So they translated it as fanzines. And fanzines in the US, zine, you think of different things, you think of a lot more text. There are fanzines in Japan that aren't quite, you know, that there used to be more of them, just like here, where they would have more articles. But that's not the same as doujin.
No.
But the Del Rey guy gave a reasonable explanation. He was like, you know, it could have gone 50-50 either way, and we want it to appeal to a wide audience and stuff. But also we mentioned at this point that Del Rey does a good job of translating manga, where they have, like, they keep honorifics, they translate the sound effects, but they leave the original sound effect in, which is really useful if you're learning Japanese, like I am, and you want to read the katakana or hiragana sound effects. And it says crazy stuff once you can read it, like glomp, 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 or whatever, gar, gar, gar. And you're like, what the hell? Like, a sword doesn't make a sound like, don. But it turns out in Japanese, it does. So it's useful to have, like, an Americanized translation of the sound effect next to it. That if someone's running down a hall and it's like, dun, dun, da, 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 and it says tap, 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 tap in English, then you're like, okay, that makes a kind of sense. And now I know what da-da-da means. If I read a Tokyo Pop title that doesn't have the sound effects translated, I can kind of guess. It's weird. It's also weird when translators put... Okay, also, the Genshiken manga has translator's notes and maybe like a glossary or something in the back. That's great. Tokyo Pop doesn't. And it always bugs me. I say more...
Boo sucks to Tokyo Pop.
More translation notes. As many translator's notes as possible. I really liked in the Azumanga Daioh manga release, I think that was by maybe ADV or someone, they have a nice glossary, not a glossary, but they have a lot of notes in the end that say, this is what the original joke was, and this is how I changed it to make it funnier.
Now for a segment I like to call My Life and Family.
Where are the Cheetos?
Shut up. Right next to you. This story is from, I think it was Akon 7. Now, Akon 7 is the same convention where the lights went out, but I'm not going to tell you the story of when the lights went out today. I'm going to tell you a story about Fat Bastard. Fat Bastard was someone who everyone in anime fandom at the time knew. I don't know if there's anyone who knows him now. Fat Bastard was a jerk and no one liked him. And he was always making problems at the convention. You didn't want to be around him. At Akon 7, he had a room right next to con security. Now, in the last story, that was hotel security. This is con security. Con security, very cool. Hotel security, not cool. Those guys are suckers. Con security, especially at Akon, those guys did a great job. They're really nice people. So, Fat Bastard had a room next to con security. This was the year after the year that a lot of fans had gotten in trouble for bringing contraband, silly string, if you will, into the convention. So everyone was really kind of on tenterhooks that convention. We didn't want to piss off the hotel staff. It happens that con security, accidentally thinking that they are walking into their room, Fat Bastard left his room door open. And they walk into the room, not knowing that it's not theirs, to find all of this drug paraphernalia just scattered all over the room. In the middle of it, there's this giant bong. It's huge. They really get worried. They don't quite know what to do, so someone runs into the dealer's room, and I was there to hear this. All of a sudden, someone grabs the mic and says, excuse me, we have an announcement. We have an announcement, please. Would fat bastard please get the bong out of his hotel room? You're frightening the other guests. Thank you. The entire dealer's room erupted into laughter because not only did we know who fat bastard was and what they were talking about, but, I mean, imagine, wouldn't you be incredibly embarrassed if that were you? I don't actually know what happened to Fat Bastard after that.
Alright. All our music is by Steve. It's from Analog Lights. And you can email Steve. His email address is giantspidertimeinc@hotmail.com. giantspidertimeinc@hotmail.com. But right now, we're going to play a song for you by our friend Hal, who is possibly the world's greatest album, which is available for download for free, and I'll post a link in the show notes at ninjaconsultant.com. Do you have anything to say about introducing Hal's particular style of music?
Wow, how does one introduce Hal?
Hal is our dungeon master.
Hal runs our D&D game, is probably the most tolerant man I've ever met. He does an awful lot of research for our game. He never sleeps, and when he does, his eyes are open and he's reading. I think he's read more than anyone else I've ever met.
And he's currently writing his third book.
Oh yeah, he's writing his third book, which is the beginning of a fantasy novel, which we all want to read.
None of them are published yet.
But this is, we're supposed to be introducing his music.
Right.
So musically, Hal refuses to listen to anything.
He might be tone deaf.
He's definitely tone deaf.
But that hasn't stopped.
But it certainly doesn't stop him. But musically, he only listens to things that were played before he was born.
Before his own birth, in like, what, 1970?
So I think that's right.
He has he only knows like 3 or 4 guitar chords, like he just learned how to play. But again, you know, that doesn't stop him,
and he uses them all.
Well, it doesn't stop like Green Day or something. So yeah, this is his song, and it's called Solids.
Hope you enjoy it.
This is a song I wrote while waiting for my old roommate, Chris, to buy shoes. If it's a little bit longer than most of the songs on the album, it's because Chris takes a long time to pick out shoes. It's called Solids.
Do, 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 tough and brave. Sailor suit and an Asian bowl haircut, or else with no socks and a baby doll tee. And let her be vulgar, and let her be awkward, and let her be evil and always alone. And let her be clever and never on fire. And Lord, let her love for me sink like a stone. God King and Warlord of Mars, or else be the terror and scourge of the underworld, busting casinos and blowing up cars. And let me be crafty, and let me be shifty, and let me be reckless and good with a gun. And let me sleep soundly and never awaken. And Lord, let me lie down when I ought to run. Do, do, do. And brave, never behave. Pain and sorrow, never tomorrow. Lord, let a statue be built in my honor, and let it be made of titanium steel, and give it a likeness as true as a Rorschach's. And Lord, let it feel the way that I feel. So let it be hollow, and let it be ruined, and let it be glacial, and always alone. So when the kids see it, they'll topple it over to land in the ocean and sink like a stone. Dodecahedron, sphere, cylinder, cone.